Welcome to the hottest new podcast around. Good Things Come in Threes, with your expert panel of hosts, Pastor Jack Horner, Pastor Liz Fry, and Pastor John Brock.
Welcome to Good Things That Come in Threes, the podcast for Trinity Lutheran Church in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. My name is Pastor Jack Horner. It's a pleasure to be with you today as we talk about health for 2021. I'm here with my colleagues, Pastor Elizabeth Fry.
Hello.
And Pastor John Brock.
Welcome. Glad you're with us today.
And one of the things that we've been thinking about as we were putting this together was how health has been affected, especially in 2020 with the pandemic. Now, there's obviously the effect of the virus and what's that caused, but we've noticed that there have been so many other health concerns that people have had, that not only about not only physical but also spiritual and mental as well. And so we thought, let's talk about 2021 and our health and how we might do the things that we need to do to be able to really help us grow as far as our health is concerned, because I don't know about you, but you know, we've all gone through a lot of different challenges.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And of course, 2021, we've got all of these new opportunities, these possibilities, these new focus that we can do. I don't know about you. Did you guys make any New Year's resolutions for this year?
Well, I wouldn't say it was a resolution, and at the risk of sounding sarcastic, and I don't mean it that way, but my goal for 2021 is to stay alive. But by that I mean to take care of my health, my cardiac issues, and continuing on meeting on a day on, not a daily on a bi-monthly basis with my oncologist and doing that, but even more than that, what I really want to do is to try to get more organized. That's something that I've been wanting to do for a long time. You guys have both seen my office, but now that I am dealing with my mom's estate and the paperwork and things that I need to do, I realize that I really need to be way more organized than what I have been in the past. And so I have surprised myself and have actually started to do things along that line. So that's where I am. I'm going to really try to be more organized.
That's great.
Great. How about you, Liz?
I think I want to spend a little bit more time in silence. I fill my day with so much noise and I talk too much that I think some intentional silence and time with God would be helpful.
So you'll have to come to the monastery with me then.
Not that much silence.
My New Year's resolution is, I think, has to do with family. We have a lot of, Krista, of course, got engaged. And so we've got a wedding coming up in October. So there's that. And being able to spend, time with family as much as possible is something that I think we want to do as well. So, yeah. So those are, I think, just spending time with family and intentional time with family is going to be a big part of 2021. I think for us.
Good.
I want to share with you a quote that I discovered from Martin Luther. I've read a lot of Martin Luther and I've seen a lot of Martin Luther's quotes, but this is a quote that I had never read before. And I think it really helps us kind of focus what we should be looking at as we look at 2021 and how we can get physically, mentally, and spiritually fit. This is what he said. This life, therefore, is not godliness, but the process of becoming godly. Not health, but getting well. Not being, but becoming. Not rest, but exercise. We are not now what we shall be, but we are on the way. I'd love to hear your reaction to that quote. Mm.
Yeah, that I think that's very much true. You know, we're hopefully constantly trying to improve ourselves, trying to get ourselves better. I we're not now what we shall be, but we are on the way. I feel like I've been on the way for a very long time.
Well, we're all works in progress, right? We're not going to attain perfection, but we're able to become something.
Yeah. I like that Martin Luther to also take something that I think we have kind of moved away for or way away from or forgotten over the years as the medical profession has gotten better and better and better. You know, we always look at the paradigm of you're either sick or you're healthy. And, you know, there's a continuum and usually you're, somewhere in between those things. I love the idea of not, sometimes I don't think that's all that helpful. Because I don't know about you, but if I get a really bad cold or if I get the flu, I am, you know, I'm just a mess. You know, I want to crawl into my cave, you know, close the curtains, you know, don't bother me. You know, that's kind of how I handle those sorts of things. But, you know, another way of thinking about it is wellness, you know, and whether or not we are suffering or whether or not we feel well. And sometimes, you know, like for in my case, I can be suffering terribly, but I only have a really bad cold. You know, ultimately, it's not a serious disease. Mm-hmm. And I've known other people that have had cancer, and some of them that have been literally they are dying, and yet they're good, they're well, they see their future and they're okay with it, and they're not suffering. I mean, they really are looking at the future with hope. And I like that way of thinking about it as well. You know, so you've got health and sickness, you got suffering, wellness, and to look at that as kind of a paradigm and how we can then get through life, really. Especially, you know, as I said, this year is just a, you know, is this past year was a really crazy year, and we have a real opportunity in 2021. So what are you doing to take care of yourself physically? What are some of the things that you have found that have been really helpful?
Liz, go ahead.
Sure.
yeah, John goes right to Liz.
Like, here, okay, Liz, you can talk about it.
The runner and walker, let's push it over.
Sure.
She could answer this one.
Well, during the pandemic, my exercise pattern completely got upended, right? Yeah. You know, my gym closed. I was a regular gym goer. Every morning I would be at the gym. And so I had to figure out new ways to, you know, to stay healthy, for myself. Because I've found that my physical and my emotional health are very tied to one another.
Yeah.
And so I walk every single day now, plus I run. That is to say, that's what I need to do to maintain my wholeness to the best of my ability. I also got a sweet set of dumbbells that are adjustable because I know somebody who works at Dick's Sporting Goods. So.
There you go.
For those of you who don't know, my husband works for Dick's Sporting Goods. And so he got me these really cool adjustable weights so that I was still able to maintain my my weight lifting regimen. And I'm sure plenty of people want to hear what the other two pastors have been doing in terms of their physical health.
Yeah, I have not been doing as much physicalness as what I need to be. You know, when last fall... when the gyms did open again, and I felt the need to go to the gym that I have a membership in, and I was very pleased with how they were very specific in, you know, every other machine had a sign on it, you know, social distancing, and they did their best. Of course, there's always the what's the word I can use? I'm going to have to opt for humans who would not wear their masks properly while they're working out, you know, or as soon as the staff person would walk by, suddenly their mask would drop down to below their chin. But for the most part, the people that that were there were very good about keeping their masks on correctly. You know, when we went back into lockdown again at the beginning of December, and the gyms closed again, I know that just a couple of weeks ago they have reopened, and I haven't gotten myself back there, but I know that I need to. That's one of the physical things that, like you, Liz, you know, it's good. I'm just not as dedicated to getting out and making myself move in that manner.
That's good.
Yeah,
I haven't. We're in the same. We go to the same gym, Pastor Brock and I. I haven't been back. I haven't been there since March of last year.
Wow.
And it's just, it's just. I just haven't made it back.
But you did other things, don't you? Yeah.
Well, I. Some.
Well, your guitar. Come on.
Well, yeah, there was the guitar. I don't know how physical, how well my cardio goes.
Well, yeah, but that went to your mental health.
Well, that's true. It did do that. I did take some tennis lessons, which was cool. I haven't played tennis in years, and so that was really a lot of fun. To kind of get back into tennis, and I'm really looking forward as spring rolls around, hopefully to find some people that I can play with and continue to advance in that. I had to learn a whole brand new grip with that as I was learning that was recommended to me. So it's just and a lot more powers and spin and all that. It's just it's a little bit of a different way of playing, but I'm kind of looking forward. You know, looking forward to continuing to do that. I was able to play some golf in the summer. I was able to do a little bit of that. Linda, I've done a little bit of walking, and I'm a hunter, so I was doing walking in the woods and some stuff like that as well. So a little bit, not as much as normal, or you know, a normal time, but hopefully things will become a little bit more normal. We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. But whatever normal. Yeah.
Whatever. That's true. That's true. Whatever normal is. Well, it is important to take care of our bodies because, you know, of course, our bodies are a gift from God, and you know, it's important for us to do that as best as we can. You know, not only with our physical health, trying to exercise, trying to figure out ways. You know, one of the things that is always a challenge for me is the time management, you know, finding enough time and making the most of time. And you know, there's little things that you can do that can help. I mean, just doing some sit-ups or some push-ups or some...
Taking the stairs,
legless. Yeah. When I was working in New York, you know, we were on the 16th floor. And so I was walking up 16 flights of stairs.
Holy bucket.
as a way of exercising. It was great. Wow. It was really, really well. I think I might have gotten up there faster than the elevator because the elevators were really slow too. And then also I think resting is important. I'm always fascinated by professional athletes and how much time they take to recover from their game or from whatever sport that they're playing. And I wonder if they have some, you know, if they have something there, you know, that they recognize that, you know, the more we rest, the more we can recuperate, the better of a athlete they can be. And it's probably the same for us.
Well, yeah, no, I very much agree with that. I find that when I am able to go to sleep, like between 10 and 10:30, I can wake up in the morning. I can wake up 6:30, 7 o'clock and I'm ready to go for the day. But if I stay up until, you know, 11:30, 12 o'clock, not even necessarily doing anything, just reading or watching something, even if I'm in bed until 8 o'clock the next morning, I'm nowhere nearly as rested as I am if I am able to be asleep by 11 o'clock at the very latest. I think the circadian rhythms that we have to be aware of and how we best re-energize ourselves.
Yeah. Well, and there's biblical evidence of that too, right? Because God took rest after creating everything on the seventh day.
There you go, Pastor Liz, having to bring the Bible into things.
Sorry.
But that is a good point though. I mean, you know, God models the cycle for us. and says, take that day of rest. I know around my house, rest is really important because around 6:30, the cat starts walking on my face. So if I don't go to bed early enough, you know, I am going to be getting up at 6:30 once the cat lays on my chest and starts purring in my face. It's a little way of saying, please get up and feed me.
Yeah, we have a 50-pound 7 a.m. alarm clock in our house, too.
Yeah, the dogs are great. My guys will sleep in, but the cat is not really interested in that at all. Liz, I was thinking of too with all your running, right?
Sure.
There's a phrase that people talk about, you know, life is a marathon, it's not a sprint.
Not a sprint.
And I was just thinking that if you grow your endurance, really that's what's important to live a long life. You know, doing what you need to do methodically, slowly, you know, and just keep in mind that you're creating patterns over time that are going to help you with your physical health. Well, another one that John brought up is mental health. And certainly I think the guitar really helped me a lot. You know, it had been on my mind for a long time I always looked at guitarists and I said, I wish I could, you know, play that full fretboard. And, you know, I didn't do that. I mean, I was the top four and that was it. I just did chords. Nothing fancy at all, just rhythm guitar, really. And it was so much fun for me mentally to be able to spend, you know, 15, 20, 30 minutes, 45 minutes just practicing every single day, almost every day, and just getting a little better, and again, methodically figuring out how to, you know, do things. You know, I watched a lot of YouTube videos on the pentatonic scale and the Dorian scale and other things like that. It was just a lot of fun. I don't know if you guys have things that mentally that you do that help you stay fit.
Well, I was doing a lot of reading of actually comedy websites that I got into. One of my favorite is cracked.com. Not to put a little plug in there or anything, but I've also tried to get back into just some fictional reading as well, which as a rule, I don't have a lot of time for, but that's been good.
Yeah. I set a goal for myself. I was trying to read 30 books last year.
Wow.
And I made it just by the skin of my teeth. Because for me, I find that when I'm able to read fiction, it's an outlet. It's something that takes my brain away from the other stuff that's going on.
Yep.
It's an escape, I guess I should say.
Yep. Gets you into a whole.
Probably why I love Harry Potter so much.
Oh, that's great. I was trying to read N.T. Wright's and Michael Bird's The New Testament in Its World, An Introduction to the History, Liturgy, and Theology of the First Christians. And I wish I could say I was doing better since it's 980 pages.
I was going to say that looks like a 1,000-page book there, Jack, and that also sounds more like work than relaxation.
Well, but yeah, I was getting there, you know, one page at a time. It's kind of interesting. But it was a little bit of a heavy reading, but it's always fun to get some of that background on the New Testament and the history of it.
Yep.
And I find that's also really helpful when you're, you know, sermon preparing and you're learning little factoids about, you know, cities or people or other situations, the culture that are involved in the Bible as well. So it's good to work not only the physical, you know, the muscles of our bodies, but also our mental muscle, which is probably the most important one we have, the brain. You know, that really makes a big difference. I'm wondering too about people's emotional, not so that's the intellectual side, but you know, there's also the emotional side. You know, we had our mailman come in and he delivered the mail. This is last week to the office. And I asked him, I said, so how are you? And just seeing his face droop, you know, and every, his countenance, you know, we were talking about that, you know, his countenance fell as he was just like, ugh, you know, that's what he felt. I mean, mentally, you know, how are you? His answer was, ugh. You know, it took him a while to actually come up with words. You know, I could see it in his physical cast first. And then he was just, and then he said, you know, well, you know, whatever. I'm doing what I have to do, you know, just to get through. And just once again, speaking to the time in which we are living and how difficult it is.
Yeah.
And he's just not over, you know, he's not over, and he's having trouble coping as you said, many people are, right? I mean, this has just been very, very difficult. We see it, you know, we see it every time that, you know, people come up for Holy Communion, right?
Yeah.
We do a drive through Holy Communion and people, you know, come up and they're just really struggling.
Yeah. I had a visit with one of our members yesterday. She came to the office and expressed to me the struggle, how she is struggling. She had recently retired from her profession and is a single person and lives alone. And we talked about what she is going through, what she is physically going through, as well as what she is mentally going through. And I really encouraged her to go talk to her doctor, because in my non-medical opinion, she sounded like she was, you know, fit the textbook description of what depression is. And so many other people, you know, as we're doing our phone calls and I'm talking to people, and in general, they're okay, but they, you know, they tell me about all, you know, these little bits and pieces. And as I tried to say in my last sermon, that we're all feeling that way. All of us are struggling with depression on some level, whether or not we want to admit it, whether or not we realize it, we're all depressed. You know, especially if you can, when you consider what is this, January? So a year ago, so January of 2020, and we might have been concerned about what's happening with COVID over in Asia and Europe, but it hadn't really hit here yet. But you know, the way that we are now, yeah, we're definitely, as a people, as a nation, we're all struggling with depression to
and
some
it's
degree.
So important for us to name it, right?
Yeah,
right.
We can't avoid our emotions. We have to be honest with ourselves. That's the first step in getting ourselves the help that we need.
Yeah. Well,
self-awareness.
Yeah. And like I told our member, and once I put it in those words for her, she said, "Really? You think so?" And she almost brightened up, because, oh my gosh, I'm not going nuts. You know, there is a real problem. And so, okay, now I feel a little bit better to know that I'm not good.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to avoid whatever is going through, whatever feelings you're feeling, right? You don't want to avoid them. You want to own them. And when you own them, then you can deal with them and do the right coping mechanisms to be able to get through it. And that's anything. I mean, that's anything that you might be going through, whether it's, you know, stress, or you're angry about something, or even if you, you know, happy things, you know, love, joy, contentment, you know, you want to know, you know, it's important to know that you're going through these things and then know what to do about it.
Yep.
So the other part, I think, of our a way of thinking about health is also spiritual health. So one of the questions that Pastor, you know, taught me a long time ago was just asking people, how's your soul? And I think that's just still a great way of helping people reflect on how are they. You know, it's one thing to say, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. You know, people tend to respond pretty simply to that, you know, except, you know, last year when it was like, how are you? You know, but how's your soul? I mean, how's your soul? How are you spiritually as you try to deal with life and the things of life?
And that's a question that we would probably struggle to answer, because you know, how am I really? And am I willing to share how I really am with this, with whoever it is that's asking me that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. those are two things, but
yeah.
How many of us have improved our spiritual life? You know, I would say that my spiritual life is different than it was a year ago, but I don't know that I could honestly say that it is. I wouldn't say that it's worse, but I don't know that I could say that it's better. I can just say that it's different.
Would you describe what your spiritual life looks like, John?
I do a lot more casual conversations with God. by the same token, I'm not trying to say that I'm unique in this, but you know, I suffered a couple of losses last year between first having to put our good friend Norbert the Black Lab down. He had lived with us for 9 years, and then my mother's passing in August. That not to say that I didn't talk to God, that I didn't pray before, but I think now I've over the last many months I've been doing more just wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, I'm gonna sit and have a conversation and try to figure out, you know, okay, God, what's going on here? You know, let's have a little chat here.
That's beautiful.
There was an Anglican monk that came to the seminary. I think it was my second year, and I'll never forget. He was like, "My whole life is a prayer." Yeah, that was his big thing. That, like you said, he was a monk, so he was doing the prayer offices that you have. But he really promoted this kind of conversation with God that was ongoing throughout the day.
Yeah.
Every single moment he was able to turn into a religious moment. Every moment of his life was a spiritual moment as he reflected on God and God's goodness. And you know, when that question, you know, how is your soul? Going to God and seeking the answer to that and developing and going deeper in your relationship with God through conversation is really, really, I think, helpful because, you know, yeah, we could answer that question to another person when another person asks us, but talking to God about our stresses and our problems and the things that we are concerned about and our hopes and our dreams, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that's going to deepen our spiritual life.
Yeah,
because it's going to be a life of prayer. It's going to be a life of conversation with God. It's going to be centered in Christ and focused because you go to the source of all life that we were talking about before, the one that created everything and then also rested on that eighth day. But we're able to just enter into that life of God. And it's, you know, it can be a conversation like you have with a friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, and what a friend we have in Jesus. So it's perfect, you know.
What about you, Liz?
Mine hasn't changed. You know, I'm a routine-oriented kind of person, creature of habit. And so I start every morning with my cup of coffee because I need my caffeine. and I sit down with my Bible and I read my Bible and reflect on that, maybe write something in my journal, something like really like it's stuck on my heart or something. And then I read a poem. Poetry is a way that I'm not a poet myself, but I really appreciate it. And I appreciate poets who pull their faith into their poetry. That's kind of what I do. And then head out on my walk and I listen to what God might have to say to me during that walk. So
that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's excellent. It's about nurturing the relationship and finding those times, those quiet times. And even loud times, but those times to be able to just connect with God in a deeper way, in a more powerful way. And I would say also the role of community is the one that for 2020 was so difficult because, you know, we were used to coming together with our 700 closest friends and being able to connect and relate with them and find out how their week went and you know, give high fives and hugs and whatever else. And that's really been a big part of this past year that's been really, really difficult for so many of our members. They just want, they want to be able to see their brothers and sisters in Christ. They understand the importance of community and in their life. And this has just been such a feeling of loss for them. So part of our spiritual health, I think, for Christians is not only nurturing our relationship with God, but also nurturing our relationship that we have with our community and with other people. Loving people, forgiving people, learning from people, playing together.
Yeah.
Those things that we used to do with other people. You know, the physical part for me, for example, getting all the way back to the physical part was I was playing basketball every Wednesday night. You know, and then the pandemic happened, and you know, I was no longer able to be a part. You know, no longer able to do that and be a part of that. So, that was kind of missing as well. So yeah, these are all important things for us to be thinking about, so that we can better our wellness in whatever facet it takes. I hope this has helped you kind of think about your own physical, mental, and spiritual health. Remember, you can always call one of us, call one of the pastors. You can find our information on the website, www.trinitycamphill.org. We'd love to talk to you anytime you want to talk about any of these sorts of topics. We're always available to be able to do that with you. Just once again, thank you for joining us for this podcast. I want to remind you that you can find us also on Instagram. So you can see different ways in which we are able to put ourselves out there and to be able to share the good news, because that's what it's all about. So as we go into this next couple of weeks, we certainly hope that you will seek the good.
Be the good.
Share the good.
Because good things come in threes. There you go. Pastor Liz, you want to send us off with a blessing?
I would love to. May the triune God, who created you, who saved you, who sustains you, bless you today and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Take care. God bless everybody.
See ya.
Bye, friends.